Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening for Wednesday, May 28, 2014. This is Dr. Doug Kelly's doppelganger clone. Dr. Kelly is actually on an expedition. He's exploring the Peruvian archaeological sites, and he won't be with us tonight, so I'm left here to be on the program. And of course, I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter's clone, because she's also exploring.
On another planet, though.
Oh.
I'm on another planet, though. Well, am I the doppelganger or the real thing? And my doppelganger's on another planet. Something like that. We got a good show lined up tonight, I think.
That's a good philosophical question. You know, and I just don't know. You know, I can never measure up to Dr. Kelly, so I keep trying.
You're funny. We do. We have a good topic tonight. We're not comparing ourselves to our doppelgangers either.
Well, our doppelgangers are comparing themselves to the real us.
There you go.
Anyway, so we'll get on with the show. Okay, enough of that. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. Glad to have you who are live joining us, as well as those on the archives. Good to have everybody here. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We also operate a couple of schools, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science at metaphysicsinstitute.org and the International College of Humanistic Science at ichsworld.org. Before we get into our program, I'd like to do our profession of beliefs. I'd like to do that occasionally to remind everybody. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church and Metaphysical Humanism, please visit mchschurch.org. So it looks like we got a number of guests in our chat room. We welcome you. If you have any questions through our program, please don't hesitate to Type your question in there. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or make a statement, you're more than welcome. Michael is screening calls, and he will take your calls. The number is there on your screen, 714-459-3973, or you can click on the Skype icon if you have Skype. You can do that too. So tonight we're going to be talking about the topic, how do you compare with others? And the very first thing that you need to know about this topic is never compare yourself with others. All right, I think that about does it, doesn't it?
That wraps our show up for tonight. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Doug, it starts really young, though. It's a very natural thing that we compare ourselves to others, so we need to kind of set a good platform here. We want to know that we're each different. We want to know how we are each the same. We're all human beings, but then we're different. And it starts even as kids. You know, educational psychiatry believes that the age of marginalization is at about 4. Now, what that means is little kids start to see how, you know, Johnny's house has 3 TVs and, you know, his house only has 2. Their couch is red, ours is blue. And you start to see differences. And that's really when it starts to compare. Now, if that is further fed by the environment or fed by, you know, the family or parents to compete and be better than, then, of course, you're hooped, right? Because that's ingrained at a very, very young age. And then we spend the rest of our lives trying to undo the damage.
Yeah. So you started us off on a good path there, and let's just continue to build on this. As I mentioned, it's never healthy to compare yourself with others, and yet we all do it, and until we get out of the habit of doing it. And so if you think about right here and now, where you're at in your own life, on your own path, how are you comparing yourself to others? Think about your career, for example. Maybe you're at work, and you've got some coworkers, and you're all, vying for the same what do they call it? I know this is a tough word. Promotion.
They want the same job.
Promotion. Yeah, they want the same job. I know. It's just the age. Okay, so, you know, you're all vying for this. You're comparing yourself. How do I compare? If you are a counselor, maybe you're comparing yourself. How do I compare with others? It's just whatever it is in your life. If you just look at your life, you're always, we tend to always do that. How do I compare with them? I mean, we've all done this, folks, and until you learn that this is not right, not healthy, we keep doing it. So in what ways are you comparing yourself with others? I'm not as skinny as she is. I'm not as tall as he is, whatever.
Huge in the media. But again, It starts very young, and I think this is where we have to be a little bit kind to ourselves. Doug, I mean, and anybody who's listening, appreciate that we have all done it and we are stimulated by it all the time. Buy the better creams, you'll look younger. You know, buy these clothes, you'll look that way. You know, and you can be trendy and fit and fit in. And that just applies to, you know, our culture and peer pressure. But peer pressure starts very, very young. Mm-hmm. So whether it is your job or, you know, the home or your friends or, any kind of, you know, social or otherwise scenario, there is a little bit of pressure. So, you know, it's understandable.
And that peer pressure starts in school, preschool, whatever, and then it works its own way on up to our careers and other parts of our life. So,
go ahead.
No. Boy, collision. We could just do that again. Yeah, that's a collision.
You know, just to affirm to some of our listeners here and those who are going to listen later in the archives, on Blog Talk Radio and Skype that we're all hooked into, sometimes there's a little sound delay. So, you know, sometimes we have to catch up with ourselves, you know, in this little bit of a blip. So, you know, usually it's pretty good. But we don't always get to play off each other, you know, right away or quick because of that little delay. Just thought I'd explain that, Doug. What I was going to say, add to about the starting out young and that peer pressure that starts out, it goes right into, especially throughout late teens into early 20s. It's even, in relationships. You know, you're young, everybody starts getting married. or at least most of them do. They start having families. You wonder what's wrong with you if you're not doing that. And I think that the career stuff kind of comes a little bit later. I think the achievement part and what we want to achieve is more social when we're young. Wouldn't you agree with that? Or educational, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on which stage of life you're in. I mean, if you're at school, you know, you might compare your grades with others. I mean, that could happen at our school. You know, we have a student forum, and some students will earn certain awards and so on and so forth. Others won't. Everybody has the opportunity to do so. And we might compare ourselves, well, you know, Dr. Kelly likes them better or doesn't like me as much or whatever. And that's just smelly stuff. That's
them esteem, right?
Well, and that's what we're really banking off of here a lot, is that comparison is related to them esteem. And them esteem is opposite of self-esteem. If I esteem myself, then I work off of internal validation and acceptance here. You know, if I have them esteem, then I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I'm doing. And that could easily be said, I only feel good about myself when I fit in, when I dress like everyone else dresses, or when I look like everyone else looks, or how they look. So those, it's directly related to them esteem. And we have to understand, as we've said many times on this show, we're all on our own path. You don't have to be the same. In fact, here's an example. I don't know about you, but this kind of strikes me. When you're looking at a product, maybe it's an electronic gadget or something that comes in all these different colors, and you know, you look at the ad, and it's got all these different colors of this product, of this gadget, whatever it is, and you look at it and you think, gosh, what color do I want? You know, I like this color, I like that color. And it always looks better when you see all the colors. You know, when you pick one and now you're seeing only one, it's not as exciting. It's like the rainbow. You know, if we took all the colors but one away, it wouldn't be as pretty as when there are all those colors there. So every color is its own color. Every person is their own person. You can't compare purple and black. They're different. You can't compare green and white. They're different. And it's the same with us. We are different, and we have a right to be different. We have a right to be ourselves, our own unique self. You know, we may be tall, short, fat, thin, you know, white, black, purple, green, blue, doesn't matter. You know, we are our own person, and that's the way we were made. That's the way, that came with the model, so to speak.
I think it's pretty natural, though, to, you know, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here. I think it's pretty natural for us to see ingredients in other people that we really like. You know, that could go to the mentorship. So if you are going to compare, make sure it's people who you can aspire to be a little bit more like. Like, you know, even the gestures of kindness.
I think that's an excellent point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a valuable... It's important to make a distinction here. There are qualities in other people that we may like, that we may want to emulate, and that's true too. We may have mentors throughout our life, and we usually do. So we want to emulate those qualities that we like and that we see in other people. That's fine. It doesn't mean that you want to. I mean, it's okay to want to emulate those qualities if they're good qualities. You bring them into your own core values. That's fine. You know, it's when we are not happy unless we are like somebody else. There's a difference. You know, we have to be our own unique self. And we have to bring our own uniqueness to the table in what we do. That's an important thing, distinction to make as well. When you do something, bring you. And I've used this example in the past, but I'll bring another one. You know, back in 2006, end of 2005, I started my paranormal group, Spirit Team, which has evolved into Paranexus. But at the time, you know, I had, of course, been a student of paranormal activity all my life from a very young age, like most people who are in it. And so I was well-read, very knowledgeable about the field, but I had never done it. And so I started my team, and we went on some investigations and so forth. And then I got thinking, you know, because I'm a teacher. That's just who I am, what I do. I can't change. Just kidding. But I am a teacher. So I'm thinking, how can I teach what I do? Because I have complete confidence and trust and faith in what I do and who I am and how I approach things and the take that I have on things, because it's usually grounded and objective. And so how can I teach this? Because we were making a lot of progress. We were evolving. We were growing very fast in terms of our take on the field and what was really going on. And so a year and a half into it, I wrote the CPI course, which is Certified Paranormal Investigator course, and it's still available on ICHSworld.org. And hundreds of people have taken this course. And, of course, I've been, you know, accused of everything for having done this course because, you know, you just don't do that stuff. But I said, so what? I have something to teach, and I'm going to teach it. And so when I did write the course, it was uniquely mine. There's nothing else like it because I approached it from a very grounded and balanced point of view, and that means I teach life skills as part of it. You have to know who you are and why you are who you are if you're going to be successful in anything in life. I teach the life leadership paragon in it, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. Because if you don't have those, you're not going to be good at anything, especially at paranormal research. If you're grounded and balanced and you understand these different things, you have good relationship skills, you have good communication skills, that's all going to make you much, much better at paranormal research and investigations than anything else. So I brought myself to the table. I brought my own unique skills, my own unique experiences, my own models, my own stuff that I have developed, and I brought that to the table and I included it. So what about you? This is what I tell students. This is what I tell people. Bring you to the mix. If you're interested in a certain field, what is it about you that makes you unique, that makes you different? Because you'll have different experiences. That's called qualia. Qualia is plural. It's the subjective experiences of the mind. In other words, if you go on a roller coaster and you try to describe it to me, and maybe I've never been on a roller coaster, so I don't know what to expect, but you try to explain it to me, you know, I can't understand it like you can because I haven't done it. So there has to be the qualia. Your qualia is different than mine. Your experiences are different than mine. That's why they say walk in somebody else's shoes, do the same thing. So you have to bring your own uniqueness to what you do and not worry so much about what other people are doing because they're bringing their own uniqueness to it.
Okay, I'm just going to interrupt what I think is a common fear. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment.
You and the devil.
I know. That I've used it twice, Jay. You started out with something that's very specific. You had something in mind. Now, there could be some other people around who might think that you're, maybe a little more than assertive, would think that maybe you're got a big ego, that you're aggressive, that, you know, arrogant perhaps, you know, because, like, you're not playing by the group rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, I think this is a common fear for people, Doug, is I don't want to feel different. I don't want anybody to point the finger at me. I don't want people to think that I'm being aggressive. I really want the collective and let's make a democracy, and because nobody wants to step up and out.
Risk.
There you go. That's a big one. But I think that this is what a lot of people deal with is I don't dare to be different because if I'm different, then I'll lose my friends. I'll lose my social network. Geez, I might lose my family. You know, we've talked about that a lot in the show. Daring to be yourself based on your own principles means that you generally have to, you know, not be attached to other things that hold you back. Because that's a really important thing.
I mean, think about it. You're afraid to be different because you might lose your friends. But when you do that, when you don't, you're not who you really are. First of all, you're putting on a pretense. You're not being genuine. Secondly, you have sacrificed yourself to other people, really on the altar of other people. You have sacrificed who you really genuinely are. And you can't go through your life worrying about what other people think. You can't go through your life just trying to copy what other people do. Here's, you want to talk about fears? I'll tell you, you know those people that you think are really good and confident and they know what they're doing? In most cases, those people are all looking right back at you and thinking the same thing. They're afraid. They're intimidated. They're worried that they're not all that. And they're comparing themselves to yet others and maybe even back to you. Everybody's doing this. So these people that you think are just great and they don't compare themselves, well, they probably are. You know, very few people don't compare themselves. Very few people are comfortable in their own skin and don't really care in an unhealthy way about what other people think. So remember that. Everybody's doing it.
In the paranormal field especially, but let's just take the wide field of metaphysics. You know, I came up at a time when, if you know, I think it's still in the criminal code that fortune-telling is illegal, punishable by dot, 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 dot. And so when I came up doing readings and being in the paranormal field and knowing a lot of people in our group, you know, we have different little groups, you still had to be very careful about who you said what to, because it was there is this persecution, social persecution that does happen. And I think that this is less, it's less of that now. I think it's much more accepting, except in particular communities, perhaps very religious communities, mm-hmm. or, you know, very dogmatic thinkers, or, you know, it's like you got to find your way into a reinforcement of sorts of like-minded people or like-interested people, mm-hmm. that you know, you can pursue the questioning and be alongside people who support the change as opposed to hold you back. You know, I think this is very, very typically people are happy for their friends, but how does that affect me? Well, like, I'm really happy you got that job across the country, but what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You see, so you got to watch that, how we support, you know, support each other as opposed to diminish the support by even that bit of selfishness. And I think that selfishness of loss, or people are moving on and forward, yeah, that really sucks for me for a minute, but that's good for them, and we're part of a greater success story if we can see it that way. Do you know, and attach to that energy, not in a negative way, but a really positive way, because it can really propel a whole group of people. I think about trendsetters. I think about even my kids as they were coming up, I just got really tired of, you know, buying birthday cards for all their friends. So I said, why don't you make one? Oh, nobody does that, Mom. Well, why don't you try it? Well, do you know, within a month, everybody's competing for who can make the best card. Mm-hmm. So you got to step it up to be a trendsetter and be okay to lead the way, just as you did, Doug, in ever so many ways, and I have, and yet there's maybe we could have, would have done a little more greater had we not been worried at a younger age how that would have affected our lives. These wisdoms don't come with, you know, just snap of the finger. Right. It comes with life experience, and that my journey, my truth, you know, my soul is more important to me than anything else. It has to be my own journey, and I think this is where I'd like to inject that everybody has their own cosmic script, if you will. So when we compare to other people, we're diminishing our script. And if you look around, there's some really cool, neat, eccentric, I love this, colorful people out there who are living their own script. So that's kind of how I see it. And what is my script?
That's an excellent term, you know. Are you living your own script? Are you creating your own script? Are you writing your own script? Or are you plagiarizing somebody else's script?
Good one.
Yeah, I mean, an excellent term there. I mean, I got to relate this story, too. I mean, this is a lifelong learning, folks. This is, you go through and you evolve through life. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to continually evolve, grow a little bit each day, you know, realize things about ourselves, get to know ourselves better, realize where we could improve, and it happens and should happen to everybody. I remember the last time that I was as a speaker, you know, as a professional speaker, and I spent years as a professional speaker and seminar leader, and I always wanted to do that, you know, always wanted to be a professional speaker, and it was. And I did an outstanding job at it. And I did it. I was excellent. Just I was gifted. That's just who I am, what I do. You know, not egotistical. It's just realistic. And because I loved it, you know, and you do usually do well at what you love to do. So
you got to love people to do that well.
You do?
I believe that. I think so. You have to love the interaction of the audience and people and the dynamic. When you do that, then you're good at it.
Because
you can connect.
Because I'm a teacher. I've always been that way. And so that's just what I bring to the table. So anyway, I remember this has been many years ago. Gosh, now it's been, wow, it's probably been 10 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that. I was in Phoenix, and I was doing day-long seminars, and there was another, and I had just kind of gotten into, I'd only been in a year, maybe a year or two, not much. And, of course, I'd done speaking all the way back till, you know, all through my teens and 20-somethings and all that. But here I was in front of a bunch of business people, and there was a, they called them, it was an assistant, somebody there to help you, you know, register people, log people in, that sort of thing in the morning. And this fellow that was helping me was actually also a speaker. But that day, he was being a program manager, program coordinator. That was his job that day. And he had volunteered for it, and, you know, he was paid for it. But he was doing that function that day, and he was pretty sharp. Nice guy. And obviously pretty accomplished as a speaker and smart, too. And so here I am up there leading this thing, teaching, doing my thing, and you know, I always do interaction with the audience, and so that's what I was doing. And there were a few times that he would pipe up and make a comment or two, not to one-up me, he didn't do any of that. He just made some comments, and they were good comments, good points. And I remember that, and it was a great life lesson for me, because when he did that a couple of times, here I am in essence, and this is what a lot of my students will identify with. I felt like I was speaking in front of my peers, you know, in front of other speakers, and so I was being scrutinized. This was all my stuff, not his stuff. It was my stuff, my issues. And I remember as I went through the day, it was the best thing for me because I was doing a good job, and he even later told me that I did a good job, which of course I did. But the point was is that I realized that involuntarily I felt intimidated. And why? For what? Where did that come from? You know, I've always been pretty confident. Where did that come from? So it was an excellent opportunity for me to realize, you know, this is foolish. This is ridiculous. There's no reason for it. He's got his delivery. He's got his style. He's got his approach. And that's fine and good. I have mine. Just because he's good at his style does not mean I'm not good at my style. And this could be applied to an infinite number of different speakers and teachers. Everybody has their approach, their style, and none of them are any better or worse. They're just different. So this is when I realized no more. And I've never felt that same intimidation from anyone else for any reason at any time ever since. And so I stopped comparing myself to what I thought was somebody who was more accomplished or different or better, that kind of a thing, because it wasn't true. He was just different, and he was good for him.
Yeah, it's funny as you're talking, Doug. I think there's a threshold that each of us crosses, and I think it does partially come with age, where again, if you're following your own truth and your own path, when we met, it just didn't occur to me that you should intimidate me.
I know, that's so cool. And it's a beautiful thing, too. I mean, it's like how many people, you know, call me up and say, we need to talk, and here you are 3 years later, been involved with the school for almost that, you know, you've been involved in one way or another ever since then. But
well,
here
I think
you
it's
are.
Mutual respect, though.
It is.
Here's the thing. I'm speaking with my voice on my own behalf. You're speaking with your voice on your own behalf. And as long as we listen with each other, deliver what we have, we now become peers of a different sort, not in a comparative way, but rather, you know, a respectful way. And I think this is what's really important for us to begin to learn, and not comparing when we are comparing. Because here's the deal. You're good at stuff that I have honestly no interest in. But I appreciate the value of what you have and what you bring to the table. I also appreciate my value and what I bring to the table. And mm-hmm. and therein lies, you know, that common ground that we find of just that, I think, that self-value. Now, that's not to say we don't get insecure once in a while. I think we all do. I think that's human. You know, it's insecure even in other little ways, because sometimes we're intuitively picking up on things, or, you know, did somebody have a bad day and, geez, did I do anything? Or, you know, I think that's human.
It is. Vince Lombardi said, you know, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And so we have those days. And those insecurities can certainly pop up, but
I think that's important to. I think that's just important.
Well,
because I think there's a point where we can push it a little too far, where we think, well, where's the humanity? Where is that sensitivity? But we go back to the life leadership paradigm, which is brilliant. You know, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and if we can monitor ourselves by those basic concepts and everything that those entail, is then we become more complete in ourselves. And as you said much earlier, other people are complete also. We can all be very, very different, but we can each be complete in who we are, in our individuality and that uniqueness.
Well put. Michael says, infinite diversity brings infinite possibility. It takes many different perspectives to deal with a complex world.
You know, sometimes I think we have too many choices in life right now. You were talking earlier about the rainbow and all the different colors that we can have. Choose the one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have created a world that's gotten us a little bit off track, that we have way too many choices, so we have less of a prime directive, so to speak. You know, it's like when let's say there's 10 different marketing campaigns. Well, I could spend 10 years trying to figure out which marketing campaign to use. You know, you've got to just take whatever's in front of you and keep going forward. You know, I need to eat, so what's the fastest thing? Well, hopefully it's nutritious, you know.
Mm.
And instead of, geez, there's so many things to eat, and, you know, driving the waitress crazy because you can't make up your mind for half an hour. So I think that we have to really be, you know, clearer and keep clear as much as we can. So I think the diversity is great, but sometimes we can mistake that for too many choices. You know, it's like, I want to be spiritual, so which religion do I take? Well, maybe there's none of the above.
The one that's right for you, the spiritual philosophy that's right for you. You know, in terms of those times when we might feel insecure, or we might feel that twinge of comparing ourselves, we might have a weak moment, so to speak. Understand this too, and we were kind of alluding to this earlier. You know, we're going to vary in our abilities. You know, one day you're going to do better than another day. You know, my best today is not going to be the same as my best tomorrow. My best this week is not going to be the same as my best next week. It might be better. It might be a little worse. It's just going to be different. You know, we have good days, we have not so good days, we have good weeks, we have good months, and not so good. So give yourself that break. Be human. That's just the nature of being human, just the way it is. We are human, and we vary. So don't lose heart or get discouraged that you're not where you should be. You're not as far along as one of your friends or your peers or whatever. It is your path, and your path takes different turns and zigzags and so forth. All of ours does. The most important things are, questions are, what are you learning on your path? How are you becoming even more unique and getting to know yourself more? How are you becoming better? tomorrow, you know, today than you were yesterday.
Well, and, you know, face those little brushstrokes of things in ourselves that came from somewhere else. You know, it's like if I'm insecure about that one thing, where did I get that from? It could be somebody made a comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I could come up with a lot of life experience here too, but it's that wasn't my own thought of myself. That's what somebody else thought of me, and I bought into it, and it's in my little brain file back here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm self-aware and I'm, you know, just keep learning and growing, well, I know that's ridiculous, but, you know, whatever was told to me because it was their opinion, which really had no bearing on anything because it was their stuff. You know, it might be something that your parents taught or, you know, something that you picked up in school or, you know, something that made you feel insecure.
Well, in my seminars, I used to use this this illustration as kind of a demonstration. And I have a video of it and I teach it in the courses. And it's the concept is don't catch the ball. And I would take a little Nerf ball, a little soft type ball, spongy ball, and I would use it as a prop in my seminars. I'd invite an attendee to come up and participate with me, and I would toss the ball at them. And instinctively, what do? We catch it, right? It's just when somebody tosses something at us, we instinctively catch it. When we're out on the street and somebody hands us something, a stranger, we instinctively take it until we've learned not to do that. Well, when we catch that ball, we take ownership of it. And so now we can substitute that ball. That ball can represent a snide remark. It can represent an attack. It can represent something mean somebody says about us. In essence, they are throwing it at us. And what do we usually do? We catch it. And when we catch it, we take ownership of it. The important realization that we have to have is that we don't have to catch the ball. And there's a really good reason why we don't have to catch it. You know, why not catch that ball? Because you don't have to let it bounce off. Don't take ownership of it. And so often when we do take ownership, we fire it right back at them. Don't take ownership. Let it bounce off. It doesn't matter. You know, when somebody says something against you or derogatory, it honestly just doesn't matter. What you think of me is none of my business. Be involved in fulfilling your mission and your purpose for life, whatever that is for you. Be involved in your work. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what they say. As I've said before, it doesn't matter how good you are, how right you are, how well-intentioned you are, how honest you are. Some people are going to like you, some people are not. That's just life. Be about being who you are and fulfilling your work. It just doesn't matter. If people don't like it, just don't catch that ball. And I mean, don't catch those comparisons. Oh, gee, you know, I'm not as good as them, or I'm not as advanced as them. You know, well, if you're not as advanced as them, that could be true, but there's only one way to rectify that, and that is to continue to educate yourself, grow. Grow in your awareness. Be observant. Look around you. Where can I improve? How can I reassess the core values I was raised with? Do they still make sense for me? Do they still matter? So ask that question, so what? You know what? You don't like me? So what? What does that matter in the grand scheme of things? So what? It doesn't matter at all. I'm doing the best I can with the knowledge, experience, the resources I have at the moment. And that's all I can do. Now, if I recognize I need to change and improve in something, then I will certainly do that. But then I will have broadened my awareness. Now I'm a little better.
You know, it can be really, really little things that we catch ourselves at. And this is where I say critical thinking to the self can go a long way. You know, it's not reacting, it's responding.
Mm-hmm.
I always say push the pause button. So it's like, what do I hope to achieve by saying this? What do I hope to achieve by doing this? And I tell you, it's a huge moment when you start to see the difference in your dynamic with other people when you push the pause button. So instead of just interactively reacting, it just stop and think. How can I best respond to this situation? That makes you think about yourself. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What's my intuition about this? And now what am I going to say? That makes you completely self-responsible, and I can be better next time. So, and that's that continued learning. You know, how many times, Doug, have we gone home at the end of the day and say, man, I could have said this, I could have said that, I could have done mm-hmm. this. But, you know, I did the best I could. But if you push the pause button and respond instead of react, you won't do that at the end of the day, at least so much of it, you know, but, oh, I could have been better, I could have done this better. So it's as you say, don't catch the ball from others, but don't catch the ball with yourself. And I think that's, you know, this is, it can go a long way to how well you do in your life.
Yeah, never be afraid to be you. You know, if you're not going to be you, there's nobody else that can fill those shoes, fill that position. Only you can. And we need you. We need diversity. We need different minds. We need different approaches, different outlooks. We need diversity in humanity, because all of us together make us beautiful. You know, it would just get a bit boring if we were all the same. So.
Oh, I don't know. I think people could be more like us, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and then it would be exciting.
I'm kidding.
I know you're. I don't know. We need more diversity than just us.
And if you don't like certain things about yourself, you can work on changing it, and don't worry about other people and what they think about that. It's, you're doing it for yourself, not to please somebody else. Be in your own body. Walk your own path. You know, write your own script. Decide your own life. You don't like how you're thinking? Change how you're thinking. Don't like how you're acting? Change how you're acting. We have that power. It's the only power we do have.
Power of choice. Power to choose who you want to be and where you want to go and what you want to do. Because at the end of the days, you're going to look back. You're either going to look back with a big smile on your face, knowing that you did everything you could to be your authentic self, or you're going to look back with a frown and say, gee, I wish that I had been different. I wish I would have not taken those comments so seriously. I wish I had been more true to myself than I was. So, good comments.
Stop reading the news and start paying attention to all those advertisements. And, you know, just girls, you know, some of those dresses you're just not going to look good in. That's all.
Yeah.
At least for yourself. Mind you might think they looks good. See? There we go again. We're comparing. It's a good topic.
Yeah, it's a great topic. Well, we'll be back next week with another topic. And again, we appreciate those who listen to the live program. Appreciate those who listen to the archives. Thanks to Michael Kelly for being behind the scenes and manning the phone lines that were ringing off the hook, but we just didn't have time to take those calls. I'm just kidding. Maybe next week, huh? Anyway.
Maybe next week.
We hope everybody has a great week. We'll be back next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.